Blog 4522 Divisity Officers, America's Stage 4 Cancer by Barry Howard Mencken. The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant, it's just that they know so much that isn't so. Ronald Reagan. He's naked. Hans Christian Andersen in The Emperor's New Clothes. Everyone is entitled to their opinion but not the facts. Biden is just an empty suit vessel for the failed, corrupt, ignorant, anti-American anti-Semitic, socialist Obama slash Rice slash Pelosi slash Black Caucus slash Squad Administration 2.0. The only thing bumbling Biden is very clear that his administration is going to deal with the buzzword called systemic racism. Like the police target blacks, hands up don't shoot, no justice, no peace, Trump colluded with Russia, Trump is a racist etc., these slogans are vaporous and, as I clearly prove in my book Brainwashed, America's Cultural Revolution, are not at all supported by facts. Nevertheless, such slogans provide cover for dangerous groups like Antifa, New Black Panther Party, and Black Lives Matter to destroy our cities and pervert American history and values in our version of the Mao Cultural Revolution. You will hear these myths and lies because they are required for the victimization and diversity private and public extortion schemes to work. If there is no systemic racism, how will you justify giving billions in government grants to minority cons to study and fix the problem? It seems that only the most racist, ignorant, loud-mouthed anti-American, anti-Semitic scumbags become featherbedding misnamed diversity officers and consultants. The only diversity needed is to bring merit instead of appointments based on color, sex and sexual orientation. As regards to our children's education using these racist consultants, it akin to hiring a convicted child molester as a babysitter. Only in today's bizarro world would you pay America's worst racist radicals to spread their cancer which has already killed our universities into other parts of our education system. Near the top of the race-baiting hustlers is this guy Ibram Kendi, who was given cover for his divisive ignorant vile black KKK rants by spineless Boston University eunuchs by naming this idiot the Andrew W. Mellon Professor in Humanities at Boston University. For me, having this anti-American, anti-Semitic, vile racist con man as the founding director of the Boston University Center for Anti-Racist Research is just as ludicrous as the university making the Grand Wizard of the KKK head of black studies. He is the author of the best-selling book, How to Be an Anti-Racist, which has been widely embraced by the left and the mainstream media. Kendi has made a career out of identifying metastatic racism in every possible aspect of American life and society and using his observations to undermine America's proud history and founding principles. The radical nutcase goes on to wield the example of the coronavirus as emblematic of the way African Americans have been subjugated in all aspects of our society. There is something about living through a deadly pandemic that cuts open the shell, removes the flesh, and finds the very core of American existence, the slaveholder clamoring for his freedom to infect, and the enslaved clamoring for our freedom from infection. In another article, Kendi quotes Malcolm X's statement, "We don't see any American dream. We've experienced only the American nightmare," a nightmare that in Kendi's view is still ongoing from Minneapolis to Louisville, from Central Park to untold numbers of black coronavirus patients parked in hospitals, on unemployment lines, and in graves. In yet another piece, unsubtle titled We're Still Living and Dying in the Slaveholder's Republic, Kendi attempts to draw an absurd parallel between President Trump's insistence that we open up the economy after the coronavirus shutdowns and 19th-century slaveholders' failure to free their slaves. Slaveholders could have responded to apocalyptic anti-slavery resistance by abolishing slavery and redistributing land and rights and resources to black and white and indigenous peoples alike. Likewise, Trump could have responded to deepening economic pain from stay-at-home orders by imploring Congress to provide enough public assistance that the community could be free of economic and bodily worry. Absurdly, he slams President Trump for wanting Americans to view Republicans as freeing the individual, and Democrats as confining the free individual, as if that wasn't the factual case. Kendi believes that all policies, ideas and people are either being racist or anti-racist. Racist policies yield racial inequity, anti-racist policies yield racial equity. Naturally, anti-racist policies, in his view, are the policies promoted by the radical left. Ibram Kendi's castigation of America and its citizens for their purported racial sins, and his manipulative use of that accusation to promote a far-left political agenda, make him one of my top 10 America-hating professors. These black Marxist racist parasites are a cancer to our greatest of countries and have a history of tearing down civil society, but not contributing anything worthwhile. Indeed, most of them live black lives that don't matter. If they don't like it here, they should get the hell out and not leave us who love our country to with the problem of cutting out and then curing the pernicious disease they are spreading throughout society. True, we must always first acknowledge that slavery was terrible and we all do. But slavery hundreds of years ago is not an excuse for the current problems of blacks. Indeed, disproportionately high crime rates, record numbers of illegitimate children and low education scores in black communities is not slavery or white America's fault. As Thomas Sowell, a prolific writer and black icon, noted in recent decades, blacks more than held their own in education, had strong communities and low crime rates before left-wing government got into the picture and treated them as victims needing a handout, and they are not able to compete on merit. It is time to stop blaming others for their failures. Moreover, for the corrupt victimization and divisity extortionists must stop using Academy Award temper tantrums to push their latest of their never-ending attempt to exploit the good-natured hard-working taxpayers for freebies and unearned advantage. To save America, including Black America, giving reparations for slavery must remain only a con man's wet dream. Some facts about slavery in the U.S. compared to the rest of the world these losers won't share. Slavery in America was a small fraction of other places in the Western Hemisphere. Between 1514 to 1866, the U.S. had 307,000 slaves, that is only 8% of the number of slaves Brazil had. In Brazil, only 1 in 1,000 slaves could read or write, that number was 1 in 20 in the USA. The island of Jamaica had twice as many slaves as the U.S., while the small islands of Martinique and Barbados had about the same number of slaves as the USA. Most of the slave trade happened while the America was a British colony and the slaves were transported and supplied by British ships. Systemic racism is the most dangerous myth and slogan for the brainwashed left in America's Cultural Revolution. The cause of most of the brainwashing of Americans can be traced to the fact that almost all segments of society swallow the poison fruit from this artificial tree at some time. Can you give me just one example of systemic racism that you observed in the past decade? If the brainwashed left ever bothered to read facts such as those in my book Brainwashed, America's Cultural Revolution, and many other books, they would know that the slogan "police do not target blacks" is bullshit, and but that Floyd, according to the Hennepin County Health Commissioner, had a fatal level of fentanyl in his system, yet because of mass hysteria a cop is in jail for his murder and another for accidentally confusing her gun for her taser. Perhaps there is some reason for the ridiculous no lynching law recently passed. How does this brainwashing happen? Did America elect a black president for 2 terms, and did we currently elect a black woman as vice president? In fact, the real problem is the Biden, Obama, Rice administration, along with their victimization and divisive and woke media robots fermenting systemic, institutionalized racial discrimination and hate crimes in the U.S. against straight, non-handicapped, whites and Asians. David Clark, a black man, to make several elephant-in-the-room observations in The Hill. First, the media love stories of race so much that they sprint to unfurl the breaking news banner before knowing the facts. It seems facts don't matter, or more precisely, facts are inconvenient if they can use the story as a political bludgeon to smear all conservatives and Republicans as racists. The process works like this. First, liberal media outlets instantly parachute in to cover the story from the scene. Live coverage and interviews play on emotions, since the facts are murky at best. Anchors earnestly remind viewers race is an explosive issue in America. These news reports are followed by coverage of race hustlers calling for a national discussion on race. Provocateurs demand that all white Americans engage in self-flagellation, confess to false accusations of harboring racist feelings, and admit that America is racist to the core. Like Pavlov's dogs, many Republican politicians begin rushing to the nearest camera to flaunt their racial sensitivity. Should they not do this soon enough, the left will spin their delay into indisputable evidence of the politicians' acceptance of racism. This is what the liberal media did to President Trump following the melee in Charlottesville. They convicted him as a supporter of white supremacy simply for having the wisdom to wait until facts emerged. They declared his statement too little, too late. After a black cadet at the Air Force Academy's preparatory school made the accusation that someone had written racist words on the dorms of other black cadets, the entire academy came under a cloud of suspicion by school superintendent Lieutenant General Salvaria. He assembled all cadets and made them record him on their cell phones as he made the ritual display of racial sensitivity at a highly public news conference. This was too good an opportunity for Superintendent Salvaria to miss. He could exercise the reflex for racial wokeness rather than exercising the discipline to wait until the investigation was complete. Now that the facts are in and the incident has been discovered to be a hoax, it will be interesting to see if he calls a follow-up news conference, gathers all cadets, and makes them record his apology for having rushed to judgment and indicting them as racist. I wouldn't hold my breath. In the case of the fake racist graffiti incident in Manhattan, Kansas, an entire town came under a cloud of suspicion. It caused everyone to suspect their neighbor wrote those derogatory words on the accuser's automobile. One false police report damaged the psyche, image, and morale of an entire city and its residents. Yet, after two local law enforcement agencies with assistance from the FBI determined the incident a hoax, they decided criminal charges would not be in the best interests of the citizens of Manhattan, the Kansas City Star reports. This is insane. The hell it wouldn't be in their best interest. It would allow the people of Manhattan to feel vindicated after being painted as racists. How did the law enforcement agencies arrive at that conclusion? The director of the county police himself stated the false police report had a decidedly negative impact on the community. And when did the FBI begin allowing itself to be lied to? Don't answer that, James Comey. Do we allow false accusers to commit a criminal act and escape accountability? Not prosecuting a crime encourages others to commit similar offenses. Identity politics and a culture of victimhood have caused these pathological behaviors. Everyone is encouraged to feel aggrieved, everyone except white and Asian males. If no feeling exists, fantasize and make one up. We can be sure of one thing, the stories of fraud will not get anywhere near the coverage that the initial accusations did. That is sad. These race-hate instigators should be plastered all over TV just like Dylann Roof was. But since the facts don't advance the narrative that America is irredeemably racist, liberal media will take a pass. The facts show that systemic racism in America continues to be so rare today that there is a need to make it up. Jussie Smollett and Bubba Watson, with the help of fraudsters, made up libelous stories to keep the systemic racism lie alive. Al Sharpton and other civil wrongs leaders taught them how to do it. Sharpton, an MSNBC commentator, visited the Obama White House probably more than anyone outside the administration. He used to dress like a pimp at the time he fabricated a story about police involvement in raping a young girl. These race baiters use still warm coals of the many fake systemic racism flare-ups. We have all watched in horror as, again, our cities burned after racial flames are fanned by the hot air blown by fake news and social media. The burning and looting by BLM ignites the combustible diversity squeaky will extortionists. These modern-day carpetbaggers scream their demands on CNN and MSNBC and get rich with lucrative but ludicrous training and other community pork projects. Kendi is right about the need to choose sides. Do you support the left-wing and diversity radicals in their actions to defame America, its flag, values and constitution, or do you love America, its flag, values and constitution? Our future depends on your answers.